complementary power moves that you can do in the office or on the field or wherever your octagon or dojo of life happens to be. On the House, courtesy of Emerson Dameron, LA's number one avant-garde motivational speaker, if you see somebody you want to get some leverage on and that person asks you if you're having a nice day, say the best day of the rest of your life. They may not like you, but they will damn sure respect you. If you realize that you've said too much and you regret what has tumbled out of your mouth, say to the assembled, I trust you because you are wise enough to keep my secrets. That will shut them up good. This is Emerson Dameron, LA's number one avant-garde motivational speaker and host of Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes on K-Chung, kchungradio.org, medicated-minutes.com. I love you personally. Levity saves lives.
You love tough times because you've got confidence. You're in love with yourself. You're the best lover you've ever had, and they can't take that away from you like your Wikipedia page. By day, you're grounded, comfortable in your stillness. By night, you jack it like nobody's watching. You know how to let go and take out the garbage. It's bad for the environment, but that's not your problem. You'd rather connect with others than compare yourself with them, so you don't judge, even if they're bad at masturbation. You know your potential, you master your practice. You conquered a small island nation during No Nut November. You hunt and kill your own food, and if you don't catch anything, you eat your own sweaters like a moth. You will save us all, you will get off on doing it, because you've got unstoppable confidence. K-Chung, Los Angeles, 1630 AM, worldwide on the World Wide Web at kchungradio.org. This is Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes, a production of K-Chung, produced by Emerson Dameron. Music on this episode by Visions of the Universe, medicated-minutes.com. Levity saves lives. Let's take a moment and breathe. It's 2023, just getting started. That's very exciting. Well, you might be hoping for a boring year. We haven't had one of those in a while. There's the old Chinese blessing, may you live in boring times. And most of us have not had the opportunity to experience that. Maybe you want to be bored. Maybe that was the promise of the Biden years. Nevertheless, if things do get exciting or even a little bit gnarly, be on the lookout for interesting coincidences, synchronicities. There are a lot of odd coincidences involving the number 23. It's the 23 Enigma, which is the subject of a very bad film. So be ready for that. Be prepared for the opportunities that will present themselves. And one way you can do that is to breathe. Your breath might be the coolest thing that you have. It's better than a rose gold iPhone. Your breath is your life force. It's the first thing you did when you were born. It's the last thing you're going to do when you die. You do it all day. You do it when you're sleeping. You do it when you're awake. You do it when you're thinking about other things, because ideally it takes care of itself, much like a cat. You have to attend to it sometimes, but it mostly is capable of minding its own business. And it's free for now. You can breathe anywhere you want. It's socially acceptable under almost any conditions, anywhere, anytime. The breath is yours. They can't take it away from you except under very unusual and probably unpleasant circumstances. You can travel and take your breath on board the airplane for free. You don't have to check it. You can keep it with you. You don't lose it except sometimes you do, and that can be a problem, but you can always get it back. And you have to, because it's mandatory. You gotta keep breathing to stay alive and to do most other things. It's the thing that all of the systems in your body rely on more than anything else, and they don't work properly unless you're breathing and breathing on a regular basis, and everything works a lot better if you're breathing well. And you can do that because you can control your breath. It is mandatory and it's reflexive, but you also have a lot of authority over how you breathe and choose to breathe, and you can transform your state and your experience of the world and the way that other people experience you by deepening your breath. Usually that's the direction that you want to go. Most people are shallow breathers because there's just way too much going on, and it's a lot, and it's disorienting and confusing, and sometimes we forget to breathe, and then when we remember, sometimes we breathe in a shallow way, which I suppose has some advantages. There are some people that hyperventilate for fun, which we will also get into, but ideally you want to deepen it. And if you deepen your breath and breathe all the way down into your belly, you can transform your state. You can send signals to the stubborn and not too bright parts of yourself that need a little bit of extra encouragement to chill out and get in the game. You can get into the crevices. You can clear out the dust. And you can thrive rather than just surviving. And unless your circumstances are highly unusual, there's the possibility for you to thrive should you take it. And your breath is a portal to that. Shallow breathing is all about survival. You're on the run. You're hypervigilant for threats. You're nervous. Maybe you don't feel great about yourself. Diaphragmatic breathing, deep breathing, is for thriving and enjoying yourself and bawling and having sex and making love and working out and relaxing. And sometimes some people want to breathe shallowly. There's something called holotropic breathwork, which is basically controlled hyperventilating. It was devised by the psychedelic psychologist Stanislav Grof, who used to give LSD to groups of people, and the government got involved and didn't like it and tried to take the fun out of it, but Grof was not going out like that, so he started having groups of people hyperventilate. And that can be, if nothing else, a good excuse to scream and cry in a large group of people. Some people say that they have hallucinations and psychedelic experiences, and you might, if you don't go into it expecting too much. As with many things, I think breathing is at least one of the top five human activities by certain metrics. And if you get really good at it, you will put yourself in the top five for relaxing, working out, having sex, making love by certain metrics. And all you have to do is get good at breathing. Breathing represents all of the interesting polarities in life, where we attract things that are like in some ways, but also opposite in some crucial ways. The like brings comfort, which allows us to allow in the tension of the opposites. It's life and death, beginning and end, masculine and feminine, in and out. And anyone can do it. It's the first thing you ever did. It doesn't take much to make it happen. It takes a lifetime to master, which is cool. It gives you something to focus on, something to do, something to come back to, a soft place to land. So remember to breathe. Start the day out with some breathing, deepen the breathing, slow down. Almost anything gets nicer when you slow it way down and breathe. This is Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes, one of the top five shows in the Los Angeles market by certain metrics. I'm Emerson Dameron. I'm the producer, director, writer, talent, host, the guy. Music is by Visions of the Universe. Everything else is by me. I'm entirely responsible for its content. Levity saves lives. You're on Kaechung, 1630 AM, kaechungradio.org, and we're breathing. And it feels really, really good to be present here. The only place to be. Men are in trouble. We're lonely, we can't get jobs we hate, and we can't stop killing ourselves. We need new ideas and new leadership, and that's why I'm here. First of all, don't try to dominate anything if you don't know what the hell you're doing. Feel your feelings, even the gnarly ones. Vulnerability is strength, which sounds paradoxical because nothing has made sense in a long time. Get with the program. Don't try to be nice if it's inauthentic. That makes you resentful, passive-aggressive, and mediocre, which is worse than being evil and not sexy. Go with the flow, but don't get washed away into chaos. There's no lifeguard. They cut the budget for that. Go beyond good and evil. Transcend and include. Seduce like a flow boy and dominate like a hot douchebag. Be an artist, a scientist, and a warrior, and take all those tax deductions. Practice the art of patience, and hurry up. The apocalypse is coming, and you don't want to miss it. This is just to let you know that you are okay. You're good. You're perfectly imperfect, just the way you are. And you could always be better, because it's always both. But your big challenge right now is to accept yourself and accept things as they are in this moment, which is the only moment that matters, because it's the only moment where anything is happening. You're loving, you're loved, you're gonna be okay. You're freaking the hell out right now, and I'm not entirely sure why, and I'm gonna keep yelling at you until you calm down and accept yourself and accept the world and accept your fate and take control of your fate to the extent that you can. But there are things that you cannot change, but you can give your gifts and be generous by offering all of the golden greatness that is deep within your heart and soul. You will bring love and abundance into your life beyond anything you can imagine right now. Everything that you wanted when you were younger and thought that you would never have will come in torrents. You'll be surrounded by well-wishers and people trying to take advantage of you, and it will be hard to know the difference. You will get filthy rich beyond your wildest imagination and your lifestyle will adjust to meet that line, to match up with that new reality. You'll start buying a lot of nice cars and eventually a big old mansion on Manhattan Beach. And you'll have parties there, and you'll invite people, some of them you don't really know. Eventually you'll invite somebody that acts like they're having a good time when in reality they're casing the joint. And a couple of weeks later, your mansion will be stormed by gangsters with guns and ski masks, and they will take you hostage. And when that happens, your challenge is to accept it. In this moment, this is what's happening. Stay calm. That will freak them out. They will leave. They'll let you go. They might grab some cash if you have loose bags of cocaine or other drugs on the premises. They might leave with those. And then you'll have to deal with being alone again, and the loneliness that comes when the party's over and everyone leaves. And that loneliness may just be the biggest problem in the world right now. And your challenge is to accept that and call up a friend. Call up someone who has been a positive influence in your life and say thank you. Give them some regard. And if you don't have any friends, which is entirely possible, it's hard to maintain friendships as an adult, especially if you don't know who you can trust. Befriend someone. Take one interpersonal risk per day. Make a friendly acquaintance and accept them. Accept them for who they are. And who knows, you might make a friend who's just as self-absorbed as you are. The trick is to connect, but don't compare. Comparing yourself to what you see of other people is the quickest route to self-recrimination and sadness and aloneness and barking madness. And also, most people aren't going to measure up to you, so what's the point in comparing? You're one of the top five in the world at whatever it is you do. And I don't mean your job. I don't mean your hobbies, your vocation and avocation. I mean you are the one of the top five in the world at whatever it is that you're doing at that given time. People admire you. Some of them are afraid to let you know. They're afraid to let it show. A lot of people have wanted to be you or wanted to sleep with you over the years, but they were afraid to take their shot. They were afraid that if they asked if you wanted to get down, or if they tried to emulate you, that might make it weird, and they didn't want to lose your friendship. And friendship is what really matters. It's the only true currency in the world, which will end soon, and you'll be one of the people who's around to watch the whole thing go down. You and your friends, and you will have the deepest, most moving most insightful things to say about it. And people will want to be around to hear what you have to say. When you die, you will not be mourned, because you will die at the same moment that everyone else dies. You will be around for the end of the world. Your family will save money on funeral expenses. You'll get to throw down with all of your friends. And have a good time. Right up until the fiery end. Or the icy end. It could go either way, according to the poet Robert Frost. It's ridiculous that you would ever not think highly of yourself. It's good that you have a sense of humor about yourself. That has made you strong. It's thickened your skin. Self-mockery is indeed the foundation of an inconquerable ego, as the writer Jeff Coyen said, but at the same time, which is now, which is in the future from all of that, you don't even need a sense of humor anymore. Self-deprecation does not become you. You're the best, and you've got serious work to do. Because things are happening in this moment, which is the only place that things are happening. And the only thing that's happening is impermanence. So it is time. It is time to put your plan in motion. Show us what you got. We gotta know. We love you. You are loved. You are loving. You are, and always were, and always will be, okay. So accept that. For all of your virtues, you're alarmingly ignorant about many things. One of those things is you. You don't know your own strength, and that makes everyone around you miserable. You can't always feel good, but you don't have to feel bad about feeling bad. Nevertheless, just as a thought experiment, see what happens when you take responsibility for your experience. There's a fine line between anxiety and excitement, so suffer on purpose. Instead of alienating everyone, torture them. Intentionally, exquisitely. Become lucid in the waking dream of your life. Enjoy the complimentary continental breakfast. Keep your power. Know your own strength. A sex worker falls in love with her client. This qualifies as a man bites dog story because it's something that very rarely happens. If you hire a sex worker expecting this, or hoping for this, or thinking that you're so charming that this is going to happen, it's definitely not going to happen for you. But that's not to say that it never happens. And in this case, it happened. She fell in love deeply and profoundly, more so than she'd ever experienced in the past. We're talking about a straight woman sex worker and a straight male client, which is heteronormative, but keep in mind, some identifying details have been changed. He's married, which complicates things and creates a lot of stress, but there's a fine line between anxiety and excitement, especially where taboo subject matter is concerned. And indeed, they have wild, passionate, mutually degrading, but at the same time, very loving, caring sex on the regular. He's spending a lot of money on this. And it is not an exclusive relationship on either side. He also has a lot of affairs going on, and he's an MBA and a manager by trade, so he is adept at project management. But nevertheless, when feelings get involved, all bets are off. And at one point, he freaks out, tries to save his marriage, and they don't see each other for a while. And she gets on with her life. After a few months, he gets bored and frustrated and comes back to her. And the pattern repeats over the course of a year and change. And his affairs get more expensive and stressful, and he's running up a lot of debt that he can't really afford. It's starting to encroach onto his work and the rest of his life, which is basically sleeping because most of his life is work or affairs. And this keeps going until he becomes very self-conscious about his pattern of destruction, but he also realizes that that he is in turn catching feelings for the sex worker. It started early on in the business arrangement, and he didn't want to accept that because it's not something that doesn't end in tears most of the time. But after a while, it became undeniable that the sex was really good, which means that they could let their guard down enough to give each other a tour of the darkest corners of their psyches, and they just enjoyed each other's company. But it was getting really stressful and didn't seem sustainable the way it was going, so they devised a system. Before they have sex, he pays her the asking price plus a little bit, which is the tip, because it's America. They have sex. It's usually up to him how things go, because that's part of the deal, but sometimes what he wants is for her to take charge, which he's happy to do, and there's a lot of variety. And then after the sex, after they both come, depending on how good it was, how brutal, how passionate, how enjoyable, she pays him, and thus incentivized, he gets more and more curious about her experience. He does some research. He gets better and better and better at sex as they get more and more comfortable with each other. His other affairs kind of taper off, and he can focus more on this connection, this relationship. And after a while, he's in the black. He's made all his money back, and then some. He's thinking about quitting his job and starting his own business. And probably getting a divorce, although that's easier said than done. Although it would be the right thing to do, if not the easy thing. Because it's really just eating his soul alive. And that's not sustainable. For many years, you put your head down. You honed your work ethic. You made yourself boring. And now it's time to have fun, which kind of feels like another responsibility because you're not sure how to do it. You're not sure when was the last time you had fun. You're not sure if you've ever had fun, but your friends have your back. They've planned you a fun birthday celebration at the Cheesecake Factory, which is your favorite restaurant because it's the best restaurant, to celebrate the success that you've developed through self-discipline and the ass-clenched stoicism that you've honed to an art over the last few years as you've taken control of your life, the control that you did not have for many years prior to that. But it's been a new epoch. It's your birthday. It's time to celebrate. You showed up to the Cheesecake Factory a little bit late, just sailing on San Pedro and LSD. You ordered $1,000 worth of food with the money that you'd saved up, which is about 70 grand, so you barely noticed it. And what's the point of having money if you can't enjoy spending it? Hoarding money is one of the biggest problems in the world, along with loneliness. So you got a lot of food, a little bit of everything, from all over the menu. You ate some of it, enough to get satiated and satisfied, and you let everybody else eat as much food as they wanted. You offered up the remainder of your food to the group, and most of them weren't hungry anymore, so it was time for a good old-fashioned food fight. At first, no one else was really on board with this. You used to have some wild friends, but since you took control of your life, they've all kind of fallen away, and most of your friends now are pretty buttoned down and conservative, and no one was really excited about having a food fight, but it was your birthday, which comes but once a year. And if you're a Satanist, it's the holiest day on the calendar. And some of your friends are Satanists, so they decided to humor you. And things got buck wild. Food was flying. The staff got involved. They tried to break it up, but one of them got decked with a key lime pie, and it was on. People gathered into clans, and it was a war at the Cheesecake Factory. It was a food war. The food fight turned into a battle, which turned into a war. And you showed them how to live. If you want to thrive or even survive in the world, you gotta learn how to communicate. Step one, listen to what people say and repeat it back to them. Eventually, they'll get bored and leave you alone. Rather than getting reactive or defensive or casting aspersions, simply describe your feelings about the events. Especially if those feelings include anger, in which case you can throw in some full contact interpretive dance. To get to the truth of another person's experience, use the magic words. What do you need right now? Find their frightened, wounded inner child and give it a toy that makes noise. Ask for what you need. That's your only hope of ever getting it. Most people aren't mind readers, and the ones who are stay far away from you. Just remember, you can't always get what you want. Some people don't like you or don't pay attention, but you can avoid dying alone in the desert. You're good, except for the fact that you haven't accepted yourself. You look to other people for acceptance, as well as suggestions for movies and restaurants. And that is cloying. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know what you want, if you don't have boundaries and enforce them, which is harder than just having them. If you look to other people, not just for approval, but for plans of things to do and ways to figure out who you're supposed to be, it's hard for them to trust you, and it's hard to have real solid relationships, connections, and collaborations that bear fruit. So, relationships, friendships, definitely important. But what you really need in your life is a mission, a passion, an obsessive, maddening, all-consuming, all-in, devouring passion. Could be a passion project. Not a passion for another person. You need something more reliable. Getting attached to the way other people are behaving is like getting upset about the weather. You have to get upset about how you're feeling and then do something about it and get back on your mission and pursue your passion. People won't trust you unless you have something going on in your life that keeps you way too busy to hang out with them. And if you don't have a passion, get one. Get a 3-card tarot reading, throw the I Ching, pick one. Open the dictionary, run your finger down the page, open your eyes. That's your passion. You gotta start somewhere, otherwise, there's no passion in your life. And people can smell passion, and most people are into that smell. And if they can't smell passion on you, it's hard for them to trust you because you're not well defined. When you pick your passion, think big. Bigger than that. Real big. Otherwise, go home. Actually, don't go home until you've claimed your passion. And then take your passion home. But not for long, because your passion should involve coast-to-coast touring with fog machines, pyrotechnics, choreography, dancers who are professional entertainers, not hobbyists, dangerous explosions. It should attract fans. You should be rewarded by a loyal audience. Your passion should be remunerative. You deserve that. And you should succeed beyond your wildest hopes and expectations until you get bored and get back to work on your passion. Because passion is mission, is substance, is who you are, is power. That's passion. Last night, you got a text message in the middle of the night from a friendly acquaintance. someone who you've always liked, but don't really know that well. You think pretty well of this person based on the limited information that you have, and you've always had the feeling that if you got to know them a little bit better, you might think even more highly of them. You already know that you have a lot in common with this person, and your suspicion has always been along the lines that if you hung out, you could be good friends. You're not all that tight right now. You wouldn't call this person your friend because that would make it weird if they didn't think of you as a friend, which they very well may not, because you just don't know each other that well. But you did exchange phone numbers, and sometimes you send wacky texts back and forth. And you got one in the middle of the night from this person that was not wacky. Or at least you don't think it was. That was not the intention. The text read as follows: I'm in the hospital. Might not make it out. You texted back a question mark and an exclamation point. And you wanted to press for more information. You haven't heard back. It's been a number of hours. You're very curious. You would like to know a lot more about the context for this. But you're biding your time because you know that this isn't about you, and you don't want to be a pest by pestering and prying for information from someone who obviously has bigger problems and a lot more going on and appears to be in poor health. That's usually why people go to the hospital. Safe assumption. Especially if they're not planning on clocking out. And you're not feeling so great yourself right now. There's a tightness in your chest. There's a rumbling in your stomach, and that's not excited anticipation for eating later. It's indigestion. Because you already had a big sloppy breakfast, and now it is not sitting well. And you wish that you'd taken the time to tell your friendly acquaintance that you loved them. Yes, it could have made it weird. They might have not known what to do with that. They might have thought that you were expressing toxic, limerent attachment, which is often what passes for love in our popular entertainment. And you might have to qualify that and let them know that you love them in the most grown-up way possible. You admire their good qualities, you accept their totality, their duality, their multiplicity. And you hope that this person loves the hospital. That they're staying by choice, or that even if they can't check out anytime they like and can never leave, it is some kind of paradise.
Shh.
Schopenhauer says, a man can be himself only so long as he is alone, which is nicer than the things he says about women. And he's not wrong. You need to learn to be comfortable alone, and having friends does make you a sellout. The thing is, your real self probably sucks. We are who we are in relation to others. Otherwise, we go feral. That's why solitary confinement is torture. Well, I'm sure some people love solitary confinement. Some people drink Jägermeister on purpose. I don't kink shame. Some people are horrifying. Baseline honesty is a learned skill, or lying is an unlearned skill. I'm still working on it. The trick is to be selective. You can fit more people in your heart with fewer people on your dance card. If you don't have any good friends, start small. Take an interpersonal risk. You might make a new friend who's just as self-absorbed as you are. Good luck out there. It's almost over. You know that the end is coming. It's been coming for a while, and now it's almost here, and you're freaking the hell out, which is understandable. And you are having a rotating series of fight, flight, freeze reactions. And right now you're in flight. You want to travel light. You want to make a run for it. And you want to get rid of all of your stuff so that you can be stealthy and move quickly and efficiently and not waste a lot of time or energy. Because you've been working out. You don't need the exercise of toting around a bunch of stuff that you're not going to need anymore. But you don't like the idea of just throwing it all in the garbage or leaving it in the alley. So you try to give away as much of your stuff as you can. And you offer it to people, and the other good thing about this is it gives you an opportunity to connect and do a little bit of bonding before the end, while you have the opportunity. And you've known for a while that you really have nothing to lose. And if there's anything you want to do, you knew that the time to do it was now. So you tried some lifestyle experiments. You did a lot of online dating, which was mostly horrifying, but you got some good stories out of it. And you recorded them on stone tablets in case another civilization comes along and does their own archaeology and will learn from the lessons that you impart. You also did a whole lot of drugs, pretty much all of them. That was fun. The highs were high and the crashes were hard, and you learned a lot from all of those moments and that whole experience. And you also really put your mind to it and focused until you were able to grow gills, which allowed you to live part-time in the ocean underwater. And you met a lot of cool creatures there. But it would be a bit of a stretch to say that you made a lot of friends, because you didn't learn the language beforehand. You were hoping to just learn it through immersion, but you didn't really know how to communicate. You were just way out of your comfort zone underwater, And so you don't really know any of those creatures that you met. You don't really have a support system in the ocean. None of them want what you're giving away. They have no use for it. And you feel a little bit bad and ashamed because you have some issues with communication and making friends. And you hope that the octopuses and dolphins can at least perceive your generosity and intelligence and giving golden spirit. Hi, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. I was biased, I had bad information, I believed what I wanted to believe. You corrected me, you were classy about it, I doubled down. I'm not wrong every time, I was wrong this time. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. This was a rookie mistake and a one-time occurrence, and I assure you, it will not happen again. I'm glad we had this talk. You've been listening to Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes on K-Chung. Getting near the end. It's almost over. Let's go back to the breath. There's a lot of excitement for the new year, for everything you've got going on, all the things you're going to do with the work ethic that you've honed and the confidence that you've developed, and you're prepared to meet your opportunities. You're going to keep doing the work and get even more prepared, because the more prepared you are, the more opportunities you become privy to. But it's important to take a moment when the opportunity presents itself to relax, to soften and breathe. Settle down, spine straight but not too straight, eyes closed or open if you want to get really good at confronting the world head on with everything that you've learned in the process of relaxing. It's pretty intense. You can close your eyes if you want. Everybody else's eyes are closed, so nobody's gonna see. Either way, you can wipe your nose if you need to. We're all friends here. Relax and soften your forehead down into your muscles around your eyes, your jaw, your face, your neck, down your chest and your torso, into your groin area, your thighs, and all the way down to your feet, and explore your body. Just make yourself at home. All the departments, the hidden places. Explore, inquire, be curious. If you encounter something you don't understand, let it in, accept it, and think about, what does this actually feel like? Not just good or bad, but how would I describe this? How am I perceiving this? What about it is something that can't be done justice by just language, and certainly not judgment, and be there with that. And keep looking around until you find somewhere that feels good, or at least neutral, or okay. And just hang out there for a while, and see and feel and know what it feels like to be in that place of safety, comfort, and pleasure. Just absorb that feeling. And when you're nice and comfortable, you can change the subject and think about what makes you feel helpless, anxious, angry, threatened. Let all of that in. Feel the anger. It's kind of a pain in the ass just being alive right now. We take a lot of psychic damage just getting through the day, so feel that. Where is that in your body? Is it a tightening of the throat? Is it pain in the gut, the intestine? Recognize that. Sit with that. Allow it. Get to know it. Get to know it by its qualities, not just as a friend or foe. Get to know its experience and care for it as much as you can, or at least just accept it and let it in and know its name. And hang out there for as long as you can, and if it gets to be too much, more than you can comfortably handle, or you need a break, go back to the happy, chill-out room place in your body where you were before. And then just go back and forth between those places. Toggle between the frustration and the anger and the pain and the peace and the shot calling and big balling that happens in the place within you that feels comfortable, that feels like home, like you belong there. There's a lot of love coming your way in 2023, even if it doesn't feel that way. It's coming, it's here, it's everywhere. You're breathing it in and out all the time. Maybe you need a big hit of love. There's that show, 10% Happier, the meditation podcast with Dan Harris and the Buddhist teacher Noah Levine, who works a lot with addicts and people with substance abuse issues and people who are kind of on the edge, at one point said, yeah, 10% happier is not going to work for a lot of the people that come to me. They need something stronger than that. And maybe that's the case. Maybe just the ambient love that's anywhere and everywhere and accessible at all times does not feel sufficient to what you need right now to feel good, safe, and okay. But there's love coming your way, and if you look around, there's love out there for the getting. It might not be in the first place you look, and when it comes to you, it may not come through the channels that you expected. So don't be surprised if it finds a creative, perhaps prankish way to present itself to you. Because that's what it does. It's not all nice. It's also playful and teasing and loves push-pull and polarity and sometimes plays games. That can be fun. Game playing gets a bad rap, but It's part of the joy of life sometimes. If you do it well and give everyone the utmost respect, which is the least that you owe them, you can get good at that kind of playfulness and be one of the top five in your metro area by some metrics. And sometimes the play gets rough, sometimes somebody gets hurt. You can always come back to your breath. That is always a safe place to land. You've been listening to Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes, medicated-minutes.com. I'm Emerson Dameron. Music is by Visions of the Universe. Everything else is by me. I'm entirely responsible for the content of the show. Levity saves lives. I am the producer, but Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes is a production of K-Chung, Los Angeles, 1630 AM, kchungradio.org. Don't forget to breathe. That is your portal to your conscious, your unconscious, and your unstoppable confidence.